Thank you so much.
Namaste, Shantimani.
Oh, namaste. Where are you? Are you still in India?
We are still in India, in my house, in my home in North India.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
From Ganga Ma.
Yeah. What does she say? I'm sorry.
Greetings from Ganga Ma.
Yeah, she was one of my great, 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 great masters.
Yes.
Mother, the flowing of the Ganges taught just so much. Maybe we can go into that in just a moment.
I had a dip many times, a few times in the Ganga.
Good.
It was so nice.
Good. Let me start out with the ashram seal, and then we can come back to this a little bit. How nature is. How it shows us. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagwan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. The Ganges, huh? Mother Ganga. You know, India designated the Ganges as a living person. The government designated the Ganges as a living person. Yes, I don't know why it took so long. But you know, I'm going to speak about my own sadhana for a little bit. I pray I don't bore you, or I don't want to point to myself. I want to point to the story within it. My Shanti Maya is not an important element of the story. Being open is an element of the story. And sitting with the flowing river and the tradition of the Ganges and the traditional stories of the Ganges and the Mandakini of the Ganges. Mandakini is the celestial river which fell to the earth. And there's something to these stories. I don't discount anything, and I don't accept anything. You've heard me say this many times. Nor do I have to accept, nor do I have to reject. I just listen. And in listening, everything falls into its rightful place. I don't have to analyze the old tradition. I don't have to think it over in my head. Well, that's impossible. Well, what, you know, I wasn't there. So maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I'm not going to fight with it. I'm just going to listen and take it to heart. This is also a way to be with your guru inward and your guru in the world as well. Both are inward. I used to have the really great advantage. The first time I saw the Ganges in India was in Haridwar. And I tell this story sometimes, and I know that a lot of you have not heard it. But I was there with my first teacher who really brought India out of himself and out of me, and the glory of what is possible there when you go and you are there for the spirit. Then you're nurtured in spirit from India. And you can say, well, India is corrupt. India is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. You can say India, you know, has this problem. India, yeah, India has that problem. But India still holds an incredible jewel at the height of and depth of a person's spirituality. And that is why I went to India, not to work out what women do or men do or caste systems do or corruption is. Every place has their story that you have to kind of step back. And if you will step back, you'll see it in a different way. And you'll see it when you go for the spirit of receptivity and nurturing and ancientness and the great traditions and learning to just put your hands together, two hands in one posture, to respect what is coming to you and receive it. This is India to me. So the first time I saw the Ganges, sat with the Ganges, I was in Haridwar. And I love this image because I feel like this gentleman did not, maybe he did. I don't know. He did not know, I will say, maybe he did, open the gates of my life in India. And he was a little tiny Indian person, you know, just very, very slight. And he was very beautiful, and he had this thread across his chest, and he had this very ethereal white dhoti, this cloth around his waist, and it was floating on the Ganges. And he had a flower in his hand. And he was praying. And here I am from the United States, and I have never, ever in my life seen anybody pray in a river and be so caught in the receptivity and the conversation and the versation of his prayer as I saw here. It took me very, very, very deeply. And people would pass him, and they wouldn't look at him and think he was crazy. As a matter of fact, they didn't disturb him at all. As a matter of fact, some appreciated him who passed, maybe. I'm guessing. But no one disturbed him or looked at him like he was odd. And this just opened the book of my heart for a new chapter called My Life in India. And he had his hands together and he dropped these beautiful marigolds, just as maybe four or five. And he stood like this as they floated past me. And I will never, ever, ever forget him, ever. He was the most beautiful image. And I had no idea that he was really opening the book of the chapter of my life in India, but he did. He was the first one who I ever saw was so drenched in his prayer in the middle of this great Ganges River. And he taught me right then and there. And from there, I went to the Ganges every single day and read the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna speaks of his divine glories. And he says, you know, I am Arjuna. He's speaking to Arjuna. He says, I am. It's the great I am, which all things are in the presence of being. I am Arjuna. And I don't think Arjuna got it. But it was delivered to him. And Arjuna was anyhow, he was worried about killing his brothers and cousins and uncles and grandparents and grandfathers and all of this because he was in the middle of scoping out a battlefield. But Krishna put it in his heart, I am Arjuna. Of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. I am the Ganges. Of the rivers, I am the Ganges. Of the meters, I am the Gayatri, Krishna says. Of gambling, I am chance. It's so extraordinarily beautiful. And he's telling you what you are, not what he is only. He said, I am Arjuna. So I used to go sit by the Ganges alone, all by myself. There was nobody around, nothing happening in Lakshmanjula, no shops, no restaurants, nothing. And I was just looking at a I was just looking at a very old, I might have it posted, a very old satsang, probably one of the first in the year. And you can hear in Rishikesh is absolutely silent. There's no beep, beep. There's no nothing. There's no cars running. There's no people. It is like a desert. And it was so beautiful. And Mother Ganga, she showed me something about myself. Well, she showed me many, 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 many wonderful, mysterious, but what I already knew and what you already know. You know, all of the satsang is a reminder of what you're already aware of. When you are quiet and silent about what you're receiving, rather than analytical, or if it's not enough, or this satsang's greater than that satsang, or this, say, it's all food for you. It was very quiet, and Mother showed me that life flows. It's never still, but the bed that she moves upon is always still, and also changing. Stillness and movement, inseparable. And she showed me that my life is like a leaf on her current, and that I will have to go wherever life leads me. And sometimes we go in a little whirlpool, and we go around and around and around and around and around. And in the Ganges, there's white water, which is very rapid and very rough and very fast and very dangerous. Like life. And right below the white water rapids is stillness, where everything flows very, very slowly. And she showed me, she said, too much stillness makes my water stagnant. You have to move with the spirituality. You have to be involved. You have to participate. Otherwise, we get in a little eddy. We call them eddies. Or we stagnate. And she always showed me that she is full of grace. Just moving and feeding the land, and just absolutely full of grace. And the story of the Ganges as Mandakini, the celestial river coming down into Shiva's locks at the sliver of a moon. And the locks of Shiva is Mount Kailash. And there she begins at Manasarova Lake and moves under the earth to bless every being who ever sees her or even speaks her name. And in the Vedas, it says that every soul on earth at one time or another, this life or the next or the last, will take a dip in the Ganges. Yeah. Don't fall asleep there, Sanas. Everything that I say to you is of great importance. Not because I say it, but because you've called for it to be said. Don't ever come to satsang and fall asleep. Well, you could. Maybe you get more in if you are asleep. Who knows? God bless you all. Anyhow, that's the story of the Ganges. And She was, has been, and is a great master to me. And I bow to her. For revealing so much of my own requirement to learn what she had to say that I knew, as you know, but had to be reminded. Yeah, she's not just a river. Okay, so let me see. Does anybody want to raise their hand for satsang? Until you do, I'm going to tell you this one little point. And I got an email from a wonderful, wonderful person. I only know wonderful people. Only. But this person made a little bit of an error in viewing, and we make errors, and errors mean that it shows us how to get back to what is important. Anyhow, I love errors. And I love uprightness, and I love it all. All of it. All of it. Thank you, God. So this person wrote, and I'm not demeaning the person, I'm demeaning the idea, and I'm not demeaning it, I'm bringing it into focus for why it needs to go into focus. So this person, I haven't seen this person for a very, very, very long time, and this person shows up again, and I'm very happy to see. Very. Always. A root person. And so in the email it said, I only need, I'm using my own words, I only need a little bit of adjusting here or there. And then what? And then where will you be? Have you considered it that far? And what does that look like? And are you finished? And what do you think that this little bit of whatever it is, where is it going to take you? These are the questions that I had right after. And these, if I had said such a thing, I would have had to consider all that I'm talking about now. Where would I end up? What is it that I need? Where's it going to take me to? What is the result of being adjusted just a little bit? And remember, we're not belittling a person. This is an idea a person had. There's a big difference between a person and their ideas, by the way. Isn't that wonderful to know that? Oh, God, I think that's great. Anyhow, so all of these questions started popping out of my awareness. Like, what did that, basically, what the heck does that mean? I only need a little adjustment. Do you really know what you need? Or does it become apparent when you're being challenged or you're being graced or whatever it may be? And then I figured, well, if we reverse that, we probably have the actuality of it. It's not what you think you need, because what you think you need, you may need. You may. It may be so. But to think that you just need a little bit of something, really puts a wall between you and possibility. I can't imagine to measure what is required in my soul to live a noble life of enlightening. But I can imagine, if I have to imagine, what I don't need. I don't need resistance from forgiveness. I don't need doubt. I don't need, I could fill the bucket with what I don't need. And that would be probably more direct in awakening the receptivity of my heart and soul to the truth that I am, rather than deciding the little bit that I think I need an adjustment. So I just wanted to say that. Anybody want to raise their hand? I laughed when I read it, not at the person, because the person is sincere and the person is at least open to the possibility that there's something that they could be receptive to. Mm-hmm. So the person is quite innocent, but the idea is a little off. So I see a face, but I don't know who the face belongs to. I see the ear. Ah, do you have something in your mouth? Are you driving?
Yes.
Well, can you stop the car so we can be in satsang? Can you just park for a minute?
Sure.
Then you can listen as you go along.
Yeah.
You make me nervous. I don't know about your driving, and here I am in your car.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to pick up my son to take him to the doctor. That's all.
There. There. So what's on your awareness there? Why have you come into, what's going on?
So this morning, over the last few weeks, I've been making it a point to be a little more disciplined, just sitting with my internal self in the mornings for 20 minutes to a half hour. So this morning, there was one word that came, and it kept arising, and I knew that I would be driving, and I didn't even know if I could get into the satsang. It did come through. So the word, and it goes along quite well with, as I started the drive this morning, I was driving along this river, and there was a farm place that had their animals and this really nice bottom land. The ice had broken. The river was flowing beautifully. And I drove by and I was like, wow, I imagined for a moment what that feeling was like to live in that place with that water constantly flowing. As you described the Ganga previously, I thought how perfect the drive was for me. Anyway, the word that came this morning before I prepared for this journey was the Mahabharata. And I don't know where it came from because I hadn't thought about this story for so long. And I don't raise my hand very much, but I thought how you had shared a piece of that earlier in India. And so in that contemplation, I wanted to ask if there was a piece of that story that related to what is happening right now.
You mean in the world?
Sure.
Well, what do you mean? I don't want to guess. What do you mean? What's happening right now? To whom? To where? Where?
Well, okay. So I think in that bubbling word, I tried to recall what you had shared. Some of it had to do with the world, and then some of it had to do with where everybody's journey is right now.
You know, it's a good point that you bring. And Mahabharata does not mean war. Mahabharata means, Maha means great, and Bharata means India. Great India. Maybe you should plan on coming in 2024.
Done.
Good. In my view, I don't want to impose my view on anyone, but I can tell you that my view for myself is really a good one. And that is that I would step back and away from all of the goo and all of the darkness and all of the hatred and all of the divisions and all of the confusions and all of the nastiness and all of the manipulation, and I'd have no part in it whatsoever. Because something else is happening. And I would not be afraid of it, because this person's body is going to go back to the earth at some time anyhow. I do not know how. I always like the idea that I'll be laying in my bed and have flowers all around me and have rosy cheeks and smell good. And that people will love me and I will be happy. Maybe not. Maybe I'll be blown up in a nuclear blast. I don't know. But I'm going to have no part, because I have what appears to be a choice. Maybe it's not a choice anymore. Maybe it's just tired of it. Now, I have to admit that I watch a lot of court cases. So I'm looking. And I look at the news. I'm looking. But I will not have no part of it in my life whatsoever. Whatever I can help to not be a part of that, to not fear, to not be concerned, to let all the compost feed the light. And I am going to live, I am living, maybe to the best of my ability, I don't know. I don't have a word for it. But the commitment is there. And the commitment carries me to live as I want the world to be. And I'm just one more little peg, one more little puzzle piece clipped in to the awakening of the planet. And I'm not going to live another way. And if I find myself living another way, I'm going to straighten it out right away. And how do you do that? You do it with love. You move into love until it has no longer a meaning to you. It's just a way of life. You can't find the meaning. You can find, it's like the person who wrote and said, I need a little bit more of something or other. Love is like, you can know what it's not, but you can't know what it is. You know it's not a division. You know it's not hateful. You know it's not greedy. You know it's not doubtful. You know it's not, it can be painful. But it's the kind where, you know, Rumi says, when the rock cracks, how does that song go?
When inward tenderness,
well, I'm not sure how it goes. Maybe we can get it a little later because someone's here attempting to put it together. So love can be painful, but okay. It always ends up broad and in some way complete, and in some way a continuance, in some way a constant challenge, and in some way you just cannot say no. And it just cleans all your karma away. It just disseminates karma. It just does away with karma like water does away with dirt. And it's a commitment. And I tell you again, I'm going to tell you again this week, it's not a feeling, although it can have feeling. There can be feeling there, but love is not dependent on a feeling to be. It's not, I just feel so good about it that, and sometimes it is, and that's a wonderful thing. But sometimes it is, I really don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to do this. I was saying in the forest yesterday that didn't record the transmission, was my fault. To all in this dreaming who are medicine people, who are saints and sages and bodhisattvas and beings of light and wisdom and love, if I don't feel that, support me because I am committed. I don't feel it right now, but support me because I am committed. That is the only way I will go. And it is so bright and so clear and so simple. Mahabharata means Great India. The place still, no matter what, in the world that holds the jewel that reflects back to you exactly who you are, without a name, without a form, without knowing, yet being. So, you know, I have to get back there in 2024. Think it's my last journey. I pray it is my last journey. I want it to be my last journey. We'll just see. You never know. Yeah, I love you, Kirk.
Love you too.
Yeah, I know you do. Commit to love. Just commit to love. And what you don't love, love. And what does that mean? I don't know what it means. Will every being who has ever gone this pathway and has succeeded in freeing their heart in love, support me because I don't know where I'm going. but I can't do it another way. I can't. Too far gone. Choiceless. And wherever I get the opportunity to love what I cannot, I don't like. Thank you. It's very neutral. It's like the sun shining through space. I've said it 1,000 times. It's the divine uniter. Every great saint, every great Mahatma, every great being who has ever walked this planet, who has gone by the way of love and not yearning, although that's a beautiful way too. That's the bhakti way, to yearn. I'm talking about established and continuum. This is called wisdom. Bhakti is also a beautiful way. Everything, every way that is natural to you will bring you to the wisdom that's already really, really established in you very, very well. You doubt it, okay. You think not, okay. But it is there. Nobody else has their hand up right now, Kirk, so we can just visit in your car.
Shanti, my Sahara and Mahi both have their hands up as well.
Oh.
And now
Sahara, I will go for Sahara first, Mahi. Sahara, yeah, Kay. I'm going to go for Sahara because the last time I didn't go for Sahara, he had something to say in the middle of what we were talking about, and we dismissed him. So Sahara, go ahead.
Namaste, Shanti Mai. I have a question that relates to the what we might call the final moment of passing. There is, in every moment, we are born anew. So that which we were no longer is present. Like there's the way of phrasing that no person steps in the same river twice. And the same person never steps in the same river twice. There's a segment of the Buddhists who have broken it down to there are trillions of times in the blink of an eye that Maya comes in and out of existence, flashing a little bit like a fluorescent bulb. And in between each of those moments, we are not existing, but there seems to be something very, very different about that final moment. That is something that most spiritual traditions point to as a point to be considered deeply, that final breath. That there's something different about that finality than the finality of each moment of no longer being who one was. And there are different traditions. In the Hindu tradition, you place a tulsi leaf on the head and drops of Ganga water.
No, I want to come in here.
Yeah, please.
I want to come in here right now. Thank you. Is no longer the one that one has been. Who has one been? At any moment. I mean, that's a very deep question, Sahara. There's
absolutely.
And the Chan masters, which in my view are by far the greatest masters that the earth has ever seen in terms of their tradition. And it was rooted in India, you know. No past, no future. No, now. Now has never existed. And the reason that the great masters have brought people to the moment is to show them that. How can you catch a second? You remember how I used to ask people to catch a second of time and see how fluid, you know, Einstein saw it on the train, right? How fluid and non-stoppable. And so reality means, or the moment means that there is a root to something, but there's no root. You don't have to believe me. You can see it for yourself. This is very deep and very simple. And I would say that we are a dreaming in the imagination of the divine mystery. And remember what Huang Po, the great master, said. Though there is no indwelling reality in any of this, in some marvelous way it does exist. So the masters learn to see it for what it is and for what it is not. Things are not as they appear to be, nor are they otherwise, Lanka Avatara Sutra. So you look at life without denying it and without asserting it. The Brahman, Upanishad says, there are three births: conception, first breath and last breath. I'm really glad that we're speaking like this because I'm so tired of talking about people's behavior. I'm so tired of speaking about how people should behave, but it's really important because behave means what be have. That's how it's spelled. That you're just naturally kind and you're naturally considerate and you're naturally forgiving and you're naturally generous and you're naturally like that. We've got things tied into a knot so much that this is very important, what we're talking about. For me, this is the most important of all, is to see things as they are and as they are not in one glance, so that you're fearless about birth, first breath, last breath. And you live well in this magnificent dreaming of the great mystery. Remember the line I sent you where it says, oh mystery. And I'm going to put it in my own words because I don't remember what the word is. Being that you are, the whole universe has arisen of itself. These are the points that I would like to offer for people to consider so that their behavior is natural. I'm tired of talking about behavior. It's like a course in psychology. I don't like it. I want to talk about the reality of things, the love, the undeniable, unexplainable, undefinable quality of what is called love, that once you're being is love, which it is. And it isn't covered up with all kinds of upadis, means clouds of what you think and what you want and who you are and who you love and who you don't love, what you need, what you don't need, what you have, what you don't have, all of this. And go to this pure, unadulterated, undefinable center inside of your heart, which guides you through this dreaming called love of all of God's creation. And when you mess up, you're just honest about it. I messed up. I must not have hit record. Huh? Maybe I held it against the neighbor too long that they were being unkind, but I love them. I don't know what I am, except for the presence of all things is I am. I don't know what other appears to be, except for the imagination and the dreaming of the mystery, which we never have figured out, but makes my heart beat and your heart beat and your breath go in and out involuntarily. I refuse. I use my refusal really well. I hope you do too. I resist anything that clouds the light of love. Anything. And when the clouds appear around me, this is my commitment. I don't know how I get there. I don't have the feeling for it, all of that. But this is my commitment. No?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Fear not your life, you fear not your passing. And everything passes like the Ganges River, like Kirk driving next to the river. Everything comes and everything goes in this impermanent dreaming called life on earth. And that's the way it is. So, you know, it's always been this way, I guess. There is a rising of consciousness right now, Sahara. And it is, we can use these words, but the words are not actually true. They're just demonstrative. It is rooted in love. There is no root. There is no love. There is no Bodhi tree. There is no mirror bright. There is no dust on which to alight. That's one way to look at the world. And then Bong Po says, don't deny the world either. Things are not as they appear to be, nor are they otherwise. These are the statements of great Mahatmas, not psychologists who constantly turn you around in the same story again and again and again. Not all psychologists, but they just don't go to the moment which cannot be found. Oh, here it is. No, it's gone the moment you say here it is. With one breath in, one breath out. Mm-hmm. The breath is a great teaching of life and death. And the silence that supports it all. Inhale. Hold. There's the silence. Everything drops away. Exhale. Actually, I changed it. I should change it again. It's inspire, because that means breathe. Hold. Expire. That means that moment has been gone for a very long time. Like you said, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of points in a second that are also passing. These are the considerations that need to be addressed at this time. And it's lit in the undefinable, absolute, brilliant light of love, God's love. God, who is God? God is a mystery. I don't know who God is, but to me, it's evident because you are. I don't have to fool with that. I don't have to fool with it. I don't have to believe in it or disbelieve in it. To me, everything is evident that I cannot say a word, yes or no, or doubt or not doubtlessness. I was saying yesterday, what's the idea of being doubtless? Just skip doubt altogether. Toss it out. No word, no idea, no concept such as doubt or doubtlessness. Forget it. Skip it. It's silly. What would you do without it? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just feel like you had a bath in the Ganga? I want to move on, Sahara.
Thank you. Thank you, Shantimai.
Thank you, Sahara, for bringing up what you have brought to the song.
I did have a follow-up question, and it might not be the moment for
it. Go ahead.
Which is, there's the consideration of one's own passing, which is primary here. But when considering the consideration of another's, like how does one serve somebody well that's moving through that transition themselves? That's moving. Yeah.
Because they have their own journey. And the only thing that has ever died, let's get to it, has never actually been here in the first place. And yet this dreaming appears to be. Whatever comes will go. Love them. And you do. And you don't need to be their little savior, Sahara. You don't have to be, and you're not going to be. They have their own journey to go through. Love them with all your heart, and you will be guided exactly what needs to happen, exactly. You know that. Who could ask for more than when I'm leaving this planet, someone loves me? And that I have loved, and that I can say that I have loved in my life. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I came from. I don't know who I am. I don't know who God is. I don't know how this all appeared to be. And yet love pulled me through, and it will 100% guide you in every step that you need to be guided. I wouldn't worry one little bit. I have a real, it's my thing. I don't know if it's anybody else's thing or not, but I feel the power of prayer is incredible. And in the end, thy will be done, as this earth is here through the dreaming of the will of the mystery. I have no words that can actually demonstrate or bring forth or anything. There's no way, but you know it from inside. You do. I love that you shake your head. Yes, of course you do. And you have a powerful, powerful ability or spaciousness of love, Sahara. Just go there. Skip the need to be needed. And you will fulfill whatever is required of your participation in their passing. There's no doubt about it. I have to move on because there's a couple more questions here. I'm going to go to Gabriel and Max, and then to Mahi, then to Antisa, and we close. Thank you, Sahara. I really appreciate the points that you brought to Satsang. Max and Gabriel.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Yeah, I wanted to share a little moment that happened in meditation this afternoon. A little bouquet of flowers caught my eye, and I was meditating on those flowers. And so it was like nature appearing in my meditation. And what the flowers told me was that I'm part of nature, that I'm nature. And that showed me that the love you talked about is my nature. And so it really, what was shown in that moment was that there is really no need for any effort, for any striving, being better, being worse, anything like that. And just being. Nature is just being. And
yes, and what is nature? Don't expect an answer.
Yes. Well, in a way, it's like what you talked about, the ganja.
No, ganja is something else.
Okay.
This is the ganga.
Okay.
Ganja is another word in India.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You can call her the Ganges. Yeah. That's her proper name.
Okay, good. Yes.
You said something really important. I mean, all of it's important. Remember that this love is very much like space. And effortlessness really means effortlessness. Everything is as it is, there it is. Mm-hmm. It's not that you need not do anything. It's not that you need do something. Maybe sometimes you need to do something, maybe sometimes you don't. And some people may say, well, who's the doer? Who's the... I am, but I don't have an answer for that either. And yet, we know intrinsically what it means to Shanti Mai, what it means to Max and Gabriella. No more need be said. I would be very careful not to crystallize the idea of effortlessness. I would see it as the flowers.
Yeah.
And what is blooming within you, so to speak, poetically speaking. So often it's, we need to poetically speak and know that it's poetic so that we can receive it without conceptualizing it. Like the flower, you cannot conceptualize the flower in your experience with the flower.
Yeah, I think what it showed me was a simplicity of being. And
what more? And all the life, what more?
Yes.
There it is. It's getting, so to speak, it's getting subtle and demanding. I love the demand of love. You remember, I think it was Rumi who said, choose the pathway that demands everything from you. Yeah. What else would you do? Of course. Thank you, Rumi. Say it to everyone. What else would you do? This is not a halfway house. This is 100%.
Well, in a way, it feels that's the easy part for me, because I tend so much to be ready to jump, but the simplicity is more difficult for me.
Don't say that.
Okay.
Maybe your jumping is your simplicity. Let's just wipe off any titles or ideas that we may have that may solidify anything for us. Let's remain like the Ganges. And the only, you know, again, it's poetically speaking, and the only guide within us is the love that we have, and that we are, and that the universe is, and that the Ganges is. And we move in that way, and that way only. And if we, like I say, if we screw up, we love the fact that we screwed up so that we can see how to free it. We're happy, happy with error. What's error? You know, people, oh, I can't be wrong. I don't know. Maybe you can be, maybe you can't be. Who cares?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love you. You too, take care of yourself. I say I love you. It's meaningful and it's meaningless. And it's meaningful. First there was a mountain, then there was no mountain, then there was. Namaste.
Namaste.
Woo. So thank you, Gabriella Max. You always bring something lovely to the satsang. Mahi. Mahi maho.
Yeah. Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Namaste. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
You always speak to what's on my heart. I feel you've answered the question I have, but I feel it's important to bring it to the satsang. I'm witnessing a lot of pain and a lot of heartache among the people I know. And with that, a lot of ignorance as well of how to move through these times. And I'm having a challenge with how I show up for these people and how to be there well for them in their times of pain, because I've experience that too, and it means so much when people were there for me. But I suppose it's a doubt that I'm not showing up well.
Just love. Mm-hmm. You know, just love. And you know, before you go to meet with people, I was telling to one of the Sangha. Bless this meeting. Bless everyone within it. Everyone is having, you know, sometimes compassion is leaving people alone to trip and fall so that they can have the strength to stand up on their own. And sometimes it is lending a hand. And be careful that you don't want people to think like you do. Give them the freedom to think as they do. And remind them that maybe a good reminder is there is a shift happening now. We know it. It's not a guess. If we look at 5 years prior, we can see huge shifts in the world. Is that not true?
Very true.
Yeah. And there's a Bible verse that says, and fear not. I think it's, I don't know. It's Matthew, and it's also in Luke. And I'm not a Bible person at all. I am just fortunate to have things appear in front of my view, and they just apply. Fear not, for everything is coming to be seen. Nothing will be hidden, and everything will come to light. So that's what's happening right now, is all the crap is coming up. It's being shown. There's a lot of opinion about it. There's a lot of division. That's part of the crap, actually. And it has to go, the consciousness of the planet has to go through this composting time. And it's unpredictable what will occur, but God wins in the end. What is God? It's the mystery of life. And that is, of course, a concept that does not contain whatever it is that has brought the cosmos into being and everything within it, including time and timelessness. Be kind to people out of love. I would always back away from anybody's anything. It's not that I don't want to hear it. It's just this is not the resolve. The resolve is that the planet is changing, and how are you going to live in it? Are you going to live caring for each other, or are you going to live separated from each other? And this is the apparent choice that we have at this time. And love them all. You know, I say, Maharaji used to say to me, we are covert in our prayer because we're praying for everyone, for the murderer, for the criminal, for the saint, for the sage, for the children, for the world, for the terribleness and the beauty. We put it all under the umbrella of such as love. Everyone must awaken. Be it so. And we're patient. Maybe it takes another 4,000 years. Whatever it takes, I'm here for it. And it doesn't make me great. It makes me decisive. And something wonderful has pulled me along. My master pulled me along. The Ganges pulled me along. The little man standing in the beautiful, beautiful soul standing in the Ganges with his prayer pulled me along. You pull me along. Sangha pulls me along. The beauty of God's creation. I don't know what God is. I don't know. Pulls me along. It's a commitment. And maybe some other quality in your heart and soul will say, I can do nothing but this. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be hard. And I don't have to say it's difficult, and I don't have to say I move with ease. Whatever it is, move in love. Just like you want to be loved, love. and be willing to be wrong and be willing to stumble and be willing to fall into holes and be willing to be not so righteous. Be willing for that and stay committed to love. I would suggest, I would direct in that way. We're all going to fall down. We're all going to make fools of ourselves. We're all going to be wrong. We're all going to be silly. We're all going to be inconsiderate at times. Thank you for showing me where I don't want to be. Thank you. Yeah. Namaste.
Thank you, Shanti.
You're very welcome. You look really good.
Thank you.
Remain in your heart, and I tell you, you have a light that will send you way beyond this world while your feet are walking through the Dharma of life. 100%. 100%. Guaranteed, this is the way of the masters. Thank you, Mahi. Be good to them, regardless. Don't get thinking like you think. Ask them how they want to live. This is the life that they have. Mm-hmm. And put something in their ear like that. They don't have to answer you or me. It's just put it in their ear so they can consider it. They don't have to come up with an answer right away. How shall we live to make the world different? And how shall we live to unite our hearts so that we maybe have differences, but we can see beyond them? Namaste. Antisama, and then we close the satsang. Yes, Antisa, what is up?
Hello again. I had this question come through on the Gayatri call on Friday, and I didn't ask it. I'm having an experience in the initiation where the Gayatri mantra feels like a homing device, and I'm realizing that I almost feel as though I have forgotten how important that prayer is.
Yeah, I would give up the title, because homing device.
Okay.
I'd just give it up. Because Gayatri cannot be contained in any definition whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But I understand what you're saying. I get it. As we move through this initiation, it will become clearer and clearer and clearer to each and every one that this utterance I don't know what to say. It just seeps into you, and millions of people are chanting it with you all the time, no matter when you chant it. All around the world, every day, every minute. And one thing about Mother Gayatri is that it is said in the Vedas, she appears in the Rig Veda, that Gayatri is a savior and protects the chanter. And it's an outpouring of grace for every soul on earth. And it will touch every heart, whether it's received or not. It will be received. Whether it's recognized to be received or not is something else. But as the sun shines, and Gayatri is the mother of our solar sun, she moves on the light through space like love does. Hmm. So every time you chant the Gayatri, Om Bhurbhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Na Prachodayat. Or Om Bhurbhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Na Prachodayat. Or Om Bhurbhuva Swa Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Na Prachodayat. All of it comes out of the sun, the brilliance of your heart. The sun rules the heart. And like a star that travels through space and is seen 1,000 years after it has died by someone somewhere, the Gayatri travels like that.
I feel that. And the question that I can't quite kick is it possible to waste time?
Yes. But not to think about it, because wasting time is part of God's entertainment. Not to worry about it. But what do you want? And where are you going? And like Max said, you know, it is effortless. It is effortless, but not to contain effortlessness. You have the right heart, Antisa. You are a lit person. The Sangha are lit beings. I know no one, and I mean to say this very deeply into your heart and soul, I only know good people. And everybody has a little something. Okay. It's also an expression in God's dreaming. Who is God? I have no idea. Where is God? Everywhere. Is there anything that is not? I cannot say. Because my understanding of God is from my heart, without any kind of, is that there is 100% no limitation to what that means. And there is no definition that can define what that means. And love, way beyond attraction, is revelation. And when you are there, well, you know it. You know you are. And you know that it's a wave along the ocean and more waves are about to swell up and run to the shore, and we're going to meet everything as we meet it. Just love. Just love, Antisa. Just love. I love you. Aren't you lucky?
I'm so lucky. To be loved by you is all that matters to me.
Well, I will tell you the truth. And this is the truth with a small t, but it is significant. The love of this Sangha I cannot say. It is such a, I have no words. And it's so uplifting. And sometimes there's a blip. So let there be a blip. This is God's entertainment. One blip. Two, three, four, five, blip. So what? Be very kind to yourself. Generously kind to yourself. Generously. Generously.
Okay.
Yeah. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm. So, let us listen to Pradeep and Mutriba. Namaste, everyone.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I just love it. Thank you. God bless everyone. Deeply. Bless your life, your loved ones. And we don't have to have an answer to everything, but sometimes just considering, can I really catch a second? Namaste.